This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Since I visited you all 2 years ago, we have now welcomed our 9th grandchild into our family. It's our only boy, Woodstuff, to carry on our namesake. And so we're very excited about that. We also, my husband and I, John, were able to take our bucket list trip this year, earlier this year. We went for 6 weeks to Australia and New Zealand. And I'm telling you, it was so wonderful. We had a great time. We met some really awesome people. We were on a tour in Australia. We were basically on our own for 10 days. And then in New Zealand, we picked up a tour, and it was a small tour. It's one of those things that you have to experience it in the present. You can't get the same experience on the internet, and you certainly can't read it in a book and feel like you've been there. It's just something that you have to do personally, and it was wonderful. And I encourage anybody, if you have a bucket list, if there's something you want to do, if you can do it, just do it, because you never know what tomorrow holds. Amen. We had a lot of different experiences. One day we were climbing the Sydney Bridge, and we were almost 1,400 feet in the air, out looking out over the harbor, the Sydney Opera House, and that type of thing. And then towards the end of our trip, we were in a cavern, and we were 1,575 feet in the ground. And no matter where we were, God was there. Everywhere we looked, we could see how God had used everything, small and large, for His purpose. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. At the end of our trip, the day before we flew, we were supposed to fly to Fiji. We didn't get to go to Fiji. We flew to Hawaii. But we had the opportunity to go to take a trek into the New Zealand bush. And our guide was Kiwi Doug Dundee. I know that Doug is his name. I'm not sure about the Kiwi or the Dundee. But he has spent his entire life training and teaching people how to preserve and take care of the ecology and the woods in New Zealand. And this morning, I just have a couple pictures that I want to share with you, because it just fits so well into my sermon topic of small beginnings. So if we can look at the first one. This is really a little hard to see, but if you look right in the middle of the screen, there's one twig that is straight up and down, and my husband put a quarter in front of it just so that we could get the idea of how big this tree is. This actually is a sapling that was 4 to 5 years old. This is a kauri tree, and this is a tree that takes a long time to set its root system. It takes 4 to 5 years just to get to this point. But after it gets to this point, and the roots of ground are stable and holding on tight, it grows 1 foot a year. They have a tremendous amount of rain, and it grows 1 foot a year into this tree. And these trees, the kauri trees, are the trees that the Maori tribe uses for their longboats. These trees can get 4 to 6 feet in diameter. They can go mostly 40 to 50 feet, sometimes 100 feet up in the air. It's the perfect tree to make a longboat, because it's shaped properly on the bottom, and they don't have to scale it back or anything. What is amazing, what God has done with this tree, is that the bottom, the base of the tree, is the same size at the base as it is at the top. Not like our trees where they're fat at the bottom and skinny at the top. It is the same size all the way up. God just takes amazing small beginnings and makes something fantastic like that tree. And our message topic today, we also are talking about something very small, the mustard seed. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seed of the seeds in the world. It's not actually the smallest seed. There is an orchid that has a seed that's smaller. But in Jesus' day, this was the smallest seed in the area. But when one of these seeds, very tiny, one of these mustard seeds, is planted and is given an opportunity to mature and to grow, it grows into a very large shrub. Most people call it a tree. It actually is not a tree. It's a shrub. It's a mustard shrub. Jesus took something very ordinary and made it extraordinary in order for his disciples and for people to understand his message. Something very ordinary. The mustard seed today has a deep truth for us according to our faith. The mustard seed is a measurement of our faith through the grace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, I just ask you to be with us right now. Lord, we have worshiped. We have sung your hymns. We have prayed prayers. We have given you our offering. And Father, now it's time to hear your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all the hearts be one with you. May there not be anything in this sanctuary that keeps anyone from hearing what you would have them to hear. And in all that we say and all that we do, we will give you all the praise and glory because you are our rock and our redeemer. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Mustard seeds. Have you really thought about mustard seeds? Is that something that's really heavy on your heart that you want to do some deep research on the mustard seed? I don't think so. I think most of us might even think, we heard the phrase, if you have just the faith of a mustard seed, or your faith can move a mountain. But a mustard seed, what is so important about a mustard seed? Today I want to just talk to you a little bit about why I think Jesus chose the mustard seed as one of his topics in one of his parables. So I have three ideas that might answer the question of why Jesus is using the mustard seed. First of all, as he was walking around talking to crowds, he used something that was common, a common item that they would all be familiar with. And they could relate to a mustard seed. He used these common items so that they could understand and he could describe the spiritual truths and realities that they had never seen and they never would see. In private, he would always talk to his disciples in more in-depth so that they would understand what the kingdom of God was really going to be like. But everybody back in that day was very familiar with the mustard seed, and they were even more familiar with the mustard plant. The plant was not an attractive plant, and it was one that they wouldn't intentionally plant in their garden because it was one of those things that would just take over everything. It was like a pumpkin vine, or it was a katsu plant. So they knew very well what the mustard seed to do. It was a nuisance plant. In all of his kingdom parables, Jesus would never say, this is what the kingdom is. He always says, this is what the kingdom is like. Jesus chose something so insignificant to show others the power and majesty of his kingdom, a mustard seed. No other human being could or would accomplish the growth of the church that Jesus would accomplish to complete God's plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lonely things of the world and the despised things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Jesus had a mission. His life had a mission when he came to earth. He was to bring people under his reign. He wanted it not to be about buildings. He wanted his ministry, he wanted his mission to be all about him, not about us, not about buildings. He wanted to show people how he could change their lives, how he could heal their spirits. And he wanted to show them how he could bring people to the foot of the cross. Jesus didn't want his church to be the mighty oak. He wanted it to be the humble mustard shrub, not the mighty oak. As John and I were traveling through New Zealand, and particularly if we got to stay more than one day in one town, we would visit different churches. Unfortunately, we never got to go to a Sunday service because our tour was always traveling on Sunday. I don't know who set that schedule up, but we were always traveling. So we would go to different churches. And when we were traveling to Stewart Island, the only way we could get from the main island, South Island, to Stewart Island was on the ferry. And this island, very contained, self-contained. They have 300 people that live there, about 300 people. They support 4 churches. And I thought that was impressive, that 300 people would support 4 churches. If there were kids in here, I was going to tell them that in their school, there's only 31 children. There's 3 teachers for 31 children. But the high schoolers get to go on the ferry on Monday morning, go back to the mainland, and they come home on Friday. Sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. I got 5 grandchildren that live at my house. I'd like to put them on a ferry some days and bring them back. I've digressed. What can I say? Anyway, so we went to, on Stewart Island, we went up, we climbed this hill for this very small white clapboard church. It literally was being held in upright position with 2 steel braces, one on each side of the church, holding it in place. But the doors were always open. It was very welcoming. It was down to the bare essentials, the pews. There were some Bibles in the pews. There was literature that you could read. But it was so welcoming. And as I sat there in one of the wooden pews, and I looked at their altar area, and I sat there and I prayed. And I knew that God was there. I could feel him. I could feel the love that the people put into this church, the love that they put into their grounds, because the grounds were absolutely gorgeous. And then about a week later, we traveled to Nelson, New Zealand, and again, we were walking through the town, and we went up a lot of steps. It seems like everything was built on a hill or a mountain, but we went up a lot of steps to this very large, ornate church. As I walked in, I could see that it had lovely marble columns. It had a lot of carved wood. It had iconic windows. But when I walked in, I didn't feel God. People were walking around and they're taking pictures and the snapshots, and a lot was going on in that church. The pulpit was very high up, and it had spiraled steps, and it was carved wood and spiraled steps where the minister would walk up the steps and he would look out over his congregation, looking down on his congregation. I just didn't feel it. It was cold, and I didn't feel the love in that church. And for me, it was saying, I'm the mighty oak. Look at me. The church Stewart Island was the humble mustard shrub church that God wanted me to pray in. And this one was saying, look at me. Jesus used the common familiar items to represent his eternal gospel. The second reason I think that Jesus used the mustard seed was because of its size. And if you look at this picture, you'll see the size on the right is the mustard seed, and on the left is a pinhead. The mustard seed is actually smaller than the pinhead. And just think of what a seed, any seed, can do. No one can create a seed. God's already done that. He gives us the ability to plant that seed, to nurture it, and then wait for the end result. The power within the seed was given by God to be whatever He wanted it to be. So it is with building the kingdom church. Someone, somewhere, has planted a seed of Jesus in our heart. For some of us, it was from the cradle. And for some of us, it might be this very service. And over the years, that seed has been nurtured through Sunday school lessons, sermons, Bible studies, or the actions of another Christian, until that person pushes through the dirt of their life and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they take Him as the master of their life. And the cycle will continue and continue until the end of time. And as more sinners come to know Christ and accept the good news of Jesus, more seeds will be planted, more believers, and the kingdom church will continue to grow. So we need to remember that the best gift could be in the smallest package. Don't always go for the big box. And the third reason I think Jesus chose the mustard seed is because it had to die in order to live. Personally, I can kill a silk flower, but my husband can plant a garden and he can plant flowers and they grow, but I can kill a silk flower. But when you plant a garden, there's a life cycle. We plant the seed, we fertilize, and we water. The seed germinates and it busts open in the ground and it comes up through the ground to fulfill the purpose that God had for that seed. And then the plant will finally die, returning to the soil to start the cycle all over again. The last week of Jesus' life, He told His disciples that many things had to happen to Him before the kingdom could be fulfilled. It says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of law. And He must be killed and on the third day be raised up to life." As in any adventure, things start slow and small. Most inventors have an idea going through their head for a very long time, not sharing it with anybody. And then finally, they may mention it to one person. Those people may go ahead and make the prototype. And then eventually, they're going to share their confidence and their idea with other people. They're going to take other people into their confidence. And finally, that invention is revealed to the entire world. So if we take that scenario, I want you to think about this. God the Father knew that because of our sinful nature and this sinful world, that He was going to have to send His only Son, Jesus, to earth, become the sin sacrifice for all of us. The angel Gabriel appears to a young virgin girl named Mary and informs her that God has chosen her to be the mother of the Savior of the world. A young boy amazes the priest as he grows in stature and wisdom. At the age of 30, this man starts a new ministry with only 12 men. In 3 years, many are believing this man's good news of eternal life. He willingly dies on the old rugged cross. Then 50 days after his final Passover meal, the Christian church is birthed because of the descending of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people respond to Peter's sermon. 2,012 years later, more souls are accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, allowing Him to be the master of their life. And that, my friends, is how a tiny seed manifests into a bumper crop of Christians, and that the kingdom of God continues to grow. Jesus chose this mustard seed to show us that there is life after death, eternal life after death. Amen. I want to back up to verse 26. The hole needed to plant a mustard seed is very small, yet the results are massive. Jesus only needs a small opening in our heart in order to plant his seed of salvation. Over the years, his message will grow and grow within us until we are mature and ready to be harvested. But friends, let me tell you, Satan is alive and well, and all he needs is a little hole in a heart, and he can plant his scheme of evil. That is why we need to surround ourselves with God's word, with our Christian friends, with prayers. We need to be prayed up all the time. We need to be ready to fight whatever Satan throws at us. We have to do that in order to produce our good fruit. Today, an encouraging word, our mustard seed, our planting of a mustard seed. Just an encouraging word to someone as you're passing by could be the springboard of the next Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. We may never witness what the planting of our seeds are going to do, but all of us should have our utmost thoughts that we don't just plant a seed, that we plant an orchard. That should be our goal. God knows our heart. God knows what we're doing. It doesn't matter if we know what the results are. God knows, and God will take care of it. And just as plants need rain to help them grow, we need the rain, R-E-I-G-N, of the Holy Spirit to fall over us and help our lives to grow the kingdom church that God has in store for us. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your word with so many. Lord, just help us to not just plant one seed, but to actually plant an orchard. Lord, you're in control, and just help us to do that encouraging word, to be that person to plant the seed. And we will give you all the praise and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.